I've never heard of Big Quads. Who's that?
But I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once.
Guy, I've never heard of Nick Quentin. Who's that?
You're an e-girl, you know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never! Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. Guy, I've never heard of Nick Fudge. Who's that? We'll be right back. disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
The boomer generation and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
But I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. Guy, I've never heard of Nick Fudge. Who's that?
I've never heard of Nick Quince. Who's that?
I'm sorry, Brittany Bensie, but I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. God, I've never heard of Nick Fuentes. Who's that?
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
The boomer generation and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
But I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. God, I've never heard of Nick Fuentes. Who's that? consequences have been a disaster for the human
race. Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
The boomer generation and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
I'm sorry, Brittany Benzi, but I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. God, I've never heard of Nick Fudge. Who's that?
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
The boomer generation and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
But I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. God, I've never heard of Nick Fudge. Who's that?
I've never heard of Nick Quince. Who's that?
sorry, Brittany Betsy, but I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once. Guy, I've never heard of Nick Fudge. Who's that?
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
The boomer generation and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
But I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girls. Not even once.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first once again. America first.
Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be with you on an historic evening. And of course, we are watching live the impeachment of President Donald Trump. That's why we're a little bit later tonight. I don't know about you guys, but I've got the split screen going on. We've got the impeachment hearings, or rather the impeachment vote, happening in Congress right now. They are currently voting on the second article of impeachment right now. It's not finished. And then simultaneously, the president is in Michigan doing a rally. So I don't know about you guys, but for about the past 45 minutes to an hour, I've just been cozy. I've been posted watching both of these things happen. And when I felt like I had enough, when I felt like I kind of got an idea of where things are headed, I said we should probably go live. 7:45, probably time to go live, probably time to start the show. And that's going to be our featured story tonight, of course, is the impeachment. And I know I've said since this whole thing started that I hate talking about it. You know it. You know why. It's boring. It's a sham. We know what it's all about. We knew what it was about from the day it happened, and that was months ago. But of course, tonight, now that it has finally happened, now that the vote has happened, it is official. I think it's worth talking about, of course. So we'll be talking about that first. That'll be our featured story, but we'll be talking about that first. And then we'll also be talking tonight about another beautiful thing about our budget bill that we talked about yesterday. So yesterday, the show was about illegal immigrants in New York who can now get driver's licenses. And we also talked about how this spending bill, remember the deadline for another government shutdown over funding is Friday. So what's in the works right now, what's being decided in Congress is a spending bill which will fund the government through to October of next year. So it'll fund the government for 9 months. And I told you last night about how this time around we're not even trying to get funding for a border wall. We're not even trying to use this as leverage to make a deal on immigration. Instead, we're getting $1.4 billion for what we got last year, which is an 18-foot bollard fence in the Rio Grande or something like that. But it gets even better. But tonight, I found something even better. It's something that was slipped into the deal this week. If you thought it was bad last night, if you thought you were blackpilled about the funding bill last night, well, just wait till you hear this. What they slipped into the bill in this process is amnesty for Liberians. So I don't know if you remember this, but in the past couple of years, the president has done some good things on immigration. You know, he tried to shut down DACA. He tried to shut down TPS, temporary protected status. And there was another provision that he tried to shut down. He was going after something called deferred enforced departure for Liberians, which is something where, like deferred action for childhood arrivals or temporary protected status, it allows some of these Liberians to live here without being processed and without being deported. So he shut that down. And what has been inserted into the spending bill that will pass probably before Friday this week is something that will give basically a pathway to citizenship and amnesty for close to 1,000 Liberians. So we'll be talking about that. It should be a pretty good show, pretty exciting. Obviously, tonight is a historic night, and historic night is probably more grammatically proper. You know, even if you don't think impeachment is a big deal, even if you, like me, are bored with impeachment, you don't really see the value in talking about it as I do. You know, I think we can all agree that whether it goes one way or the other, tonight is an important night. Tonight will go down in history. Donald Trump is only the third president ever in American history to be impeached. Of course, the other two are Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton. So whether or not you agree with what's happening or whether or not you even think it's really consequential or anything like that, it still is a pretty big night. And me, you know, just like everybody else, I've been watching some of the speeches tonight and just watched Kevin McCarthy and Adam Schiff, and the vote comes in and we see how it's looking for the two articles. So we're going to dive into that. You know, like I said, it's happening right now. This is from NBC. It says the House of Representatives has debated for hours and is voting on two articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump tonight after weeks of testimony related to his dealings with Ukraine and hours of fiery debate over the process. So tonight they're voting on two articles of impeachment. And, you know, again, a quick refresher. I know I've been saying this a lot the past couple of weeks, but
just to clarify, because I know maybe some people are tuning in tonight who don't normally tune in to hear about impeachment, you got to remember that the process of impeachment is a little bit more complicated than I think most people think. I think most people think that impeachment means removal from office. That's I think, the most common misconception about the process, is that they think that a vote to impeach means a vote to remove from office. That if the president gets impeached, that means that he's not the president anymore. But of course, that's not true. We know that an impeachment is merely an indictment. It requires a simple majority in the House to vote in favor of it. He is indicted. He is impeached on these articles, on charges. And then what happens next is that a trial will be held in the Senate sometime, probably in January. We don't know when exactly it'll take place. We don't know how long it'll take place. But a trial will be held in the Senate over these two articles. It will be presided over by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. The Senate will act basically as the jury. They will hear the arguments presented by the Judiciary Committee as the prosecution and by White House legal counsel and defense as the defense, obviously. After the conclusion of the trial, after, you know, it should be basically like a regular trial, after that ends, then the Senate will vote on whether or not the president is guilty on each article of impeachment. And if they reach a two-thirds majority voting that he is guilty on either article, then he will be removed from office. After he is removed from office, then the Attorney General can decide whether or not to prosecute further and, you know, whether there'll be some kind of punishment or something like that. But, of course, if he is not, if they don't vote that he is guilty, then he resumes the normal functioning as the president, and it's just sort of back to normal. I mean, I don't know if anything could really go back to normal, you know, in a real sense, but, I mean, effectively, he resumes his presidency like he would before the impeachment. So that's the process. That is what happened tonight. All that happened tonight is, after a lengthy process over the past 3 months, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi announced sometime, was it in October or November, she announced that the House Judiciary Committee would begin to draft articles of impeachment. They were going to explore that. The articles of impeachment were completed last week, and we found that the articles of impeachment are abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. So abuse of power, the charges about Ukraine. You know, when you remember the phone call that the president had with the Ukrainian President Zelensky. The charge is that the president threatened to withhold military aid to Ukraine in exchange for the Ukrainian president investigating Joe and Hunter Biden. They saw that as the president using his office to help him in an election to help him win politically. And then the second charge, the obstruction of Congress, is they believe that Trump has been improper. He's been, you know, tampering with witnesses or intimidating people, whatever. But he's basically been obstructing the investigation by Congress and figuring out the abuse of power. So those are the two articles. Like I said, the vote happened tonight. It's actually happening right now. I don't know if it's concluded. They finished the vote on the first article, which is abuse of power, about 30 minutes ago. And the vote was 230 to 197 to 1, 230 voting in favor, voting that he did abuse power, 197 voting against the article of impeachment, and one person voting present. They needed, I think, 216 votes was the benchmark for a simple majority to impeach. So that happened about a half hour ago that the president was officially impeached. It's officially in the history books. It has happened. It'll move on to the Senate for trial. And then they began to vote on the second article. I didn't get to watch that whole thing. When I went live about 15, 16 minutes ago, the vote was at 214 voting in favor of the second article, which is obstruction of Congress, 156 voting against, and one voting present. There were 60 votes left. And I can pull it up right now to give you the most up-to-date total. So it looks like on the second article, so the final vote is 229 voting in favor, 195 voting against, one voting present, and five are still yet to vote. So it looks like the two different articles, the vote is virtually the same. It's about 230 to 197 to 1 in each case. And we knew this was going to happen. I don't think anybody is surprised by this turn of events. You know, the reason that I haven't been talking about this is because everything that has happened until this point could have been predicted from the time Nancy Pelosi initially said the word impeachment at that press conference a few months ago when she said they were going to begin investigating for articles of impeachment. We knew this is exactly how it was going to play out. And we know this because, of course, the Democrats control the House of Representatives. And the way that it works is all you need is a simple majority in the House to impeach, but you need a two-thirds majority in the Senate to convict, right? To remove from office. So we knew from the beginning that if Nancy Pelosi gave the green light for articles of impeachment to be drafted, the only reason she would say that, the only reason she would give the green light and allow the process to move forward is if she knew that it would result in an impeachment. I don't think, for example, that she would authorize the Judiciary Committee to begin drafting articles if she didn't already know that she already had the votes. You know, this is before the hearings, this is before the evidence, before the witnesses. I don't believe that she would have allowed the process to go forward because she halted the process for a long time. You know, there were Democrats saying since the midterms, there were Democrats saying since the inauguration that they should begin working on impeachment. But it wasn't until this fall that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, previously the House Minority Leader in the first half of the president's term, it wasn't until she gave the green light that it moved forward, and I think she wouldn't have gave the green light unless they knew they had the vote. So we could have basically forecasted everything that has happened, and we have, that they would draft something like abuse of power, bribery, something like that pertaining to the phone call with the Ukrainian president, and then alongside it, some kind of bogus charge about obstruction in the same exact fashion as they did with the Russia investigation. You know, I feel like we probably would have had something like this maybe 6 months ago or maybe 3 months ago or something if they were able to find anything on collusion. You know, you remember the big hearings that were held over the summer with Robert Mueller giving the results of his findings with the special counsel investigation. I'm sure this entire process of impeachment and the trial probably would have been finished already had they found anything remotely damning on the president pertaining to collusion with Russia. But we understand that the Democrats, since inauguration, have been looking for basically anything to distract the White House, to consume White House resources, energy, attention, away from the Make America Great Again agenda and onto this sort of partisan stuff. And moreover, to discredit the president with an impeachment. You know, now all the press is saying that this is going to leave a stain on the country and the president will never recover from impeachment. You know, so it's also part of discrediting. So I think this could have happened a long time ago. It's happening now because of, I mean, they found something, you know, that's somewhat plausible, this Ukrainian phone call to launch his political attack. But like I said, we knew how this was going to end up. They drafted their articles. They impeached him. And that's very simply because they have a majority in the House. You know, we know that probably the Democrats are not really deliberating over whether or not the president, like, violated the law. It's really just a big partisan thing. And consequently, what is the next step? This will move to a trial in the Senate. And like I said, we don't know what the timeline is on that. It could happen very quickly. It could happen in January, early January, and it could be a very quick trial, 2 weeks. And the benefit of that, obviously, is that then that would free up the president to actually work on his agenda in the election year. You know, 2020 is obviously an election year. We're counting down. It's less than a year now until the 2020 presidential election. So, of course, if we had the trial very quickly, you know, in terms of duration, but also we have it soon, then that would free up the White House to start working on things like infrastructure, a trade deal, or withdrawal from the Middle East, that kind of thing. Conversely, the Senate could delay the hearing, or rather they could delay the trial, have the trial like in late January or have it in February. They could prolong the trial, and the effect that this would have is it would eat up a lot of the time and campaign resources of the senators that are running in the Democratic primary. Because, of course, if you're a senator, if you're a senator and you're running for office, the senators have to be present for the impeachment hearing in the Senate. So that would mean that Bernie Sanders, that would mean that all the other senators, Elizabeth Warren, that are in the Democratic primary, they would have to be consumed with this impeachment process, and that means they can't be on the campaign trail. That means it'll be very difficult for them to be in Iowa, to be in New Hampshire, for those first couple of caucuses and primaries on the Democratic side. So there's really sort of two options here. Either you can delay it and make it a long hearing, and that is going to hurt the Democrats, or you can make it a short hearing and have it very soon, and that will allow, or rather a short trial, and that will allow the president to move forward on his agenda. So we don't really know what that's going to look like yet. We haven't really heard too much from Senate Republicans or Mitch McConnell on the next step, but that's what's going to happen. Whether it happens later or sooner, we know the outcome. We know what the outcome is already. This is why I hate talking about this. We knew he was going to get impeached from the time, like I said, from the time she announced it, because the Democrats have the votes. And we know that he won't get removed from office because the Democrats do not have the votes in the Senate. It's that simple. In order for them to convict in the Senate, they need a two-thirds majority. That means that they need every Democratic senator, every independent senator, and 20 Republican senators to vote to convict on either abuse of power or obstruction of Congress. And they're not going to come close to that. It's dubious if they could even get all the Democrats on board and all the independents, let alone 20 Republicans. Now, again, if it was a simple majority in the Senate, that might be a different story. You know, could they get every Democrat and every independent and then get like 3 Republicans? Maybe that would be plausible. Don't think it'd be likely, but maybe that would be possible. But 20 Republicans, there's not 20 Mitt Romneys in the Senate. You know, there's not 20 Jeff Flakes and John McCain's. It's not going to happen. So to me, this entire exercise is completely futile. That's why I even refrained from talking about it. I think that's, by the way, why nobody really cares about this stuff. And it's proven by the ratings for all these different hearings and votes and things like this. I saw a number this week that showed that something like 13 million people watched the initial hearings when they announced the articles of impeachment. 13 million, which sounds like a lot of people that watched this process. But there were 20 million people that watched the Brett Kavanaugh hearings just last year, you know, right around the same time, you know, big hearing happening in the Senate. So very similar, very analogous. And yet you had almost double the amount of people watching the Senate confirmation for a Supreme Court justice. Then we're watching the impeachment process, right? Then we're watching the impeachment hearing. And so to me, what that shows is that people don't care about this. You know, aside from the mainstream media, which is obviously just a wing of the Democratic Party, they're basically an instrument, an apparatus, an arm of the Democratic Party. Nobody really in serious news cares about this. People don't care about this. And I think beyond a lot of the reasons that you could talk about, the main one is that we all know that this is just bullshit. Everybody knows it's a sham. Everybody knows exactly how it's going to line up. Everybody knows exactly what the vote is going to look like, the impeachment and the conviction, or rather the lack thereof. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to do a trial. It's not going to matter. You know, what the prosecution says is not going to matter. What the defense says is not going to matter. Ultimately, the final vote tally isn't going to matter. I mean, the only way it's going to matter is if a Republican votes against the president. I mean, he'll probably get voted out of office. But outside of that, I mean, we know everything that's going to happen. And to me, this just goes to show, you know, the big takeaway, which is pretty obvious, is that nobody takes any of this seriously anymore. You know, the media, it really says to me a lot about the media and a lot to me about the government that nobody cares about this. Because it's the third time in American history that a sitting president has been impeached. It's kind of a big deal that the Congress would move to remove somebody from office. And so I feel like in any other time, this would be the biggest story. This would be what everybody cares about. But really, nobody cares about it. And that's because, in a sense, the media and the government have lost their credibility as serious institutions in the country. You know, it's not just that people don't trust the media. It's just that people don't take the media seriously at all. It's not that people don't necessarily trust their congressmen, and they probably don't, but it's not necessarily that they believe that they're not telling the truth or something like that, but they just believe that the fix is in, that the outcome really doesn't matter, that the process really doesn't matter, that we really don't have a say in this, and ultimately it's sort of predetermined. It's a lot of partisan sort of stuff, and that's sort of a weird place to be. I think it's a position that is very good for us. You know, that all these institutions have been discredited is a huge boon for the dissent, you know, for dissidents, political dissidents in America, because when people stop trusting the mainstream, maybe they start trusting people that are on the outside. But it's also something that's a little bit spooky, something that's a little bit... And I don't mean to parrot all these people saying, oh, it's dangerous. People have lost trust in the institutions. It's dangerous. But, you know, what does it tell you that there's just so much apathy in the country today about everything, and politics included? I feel like people just don't even really care. And why should they, though? You know, that is sort of interesting. I'm making that observation. It's not exactly a novel observation, but a lot of mainstream media people are making the same observation, saying everybody's apathetic, nobody cares. And their conclusion is, well, people have to start caring. You know, I retweeted the other day, somebody from CNN, some CNN journalist who was like, nobody cares about impeachment, but it is your solemn obligation as a citizen to pay attention and suck it up. You're not being asked to go to Normandy. Just watch the hearing, you know? And that's not my takeaway at all. My takeaway is not, you need to be an informed citizen and this is your solemn obligation. My conclusion is, I mean, why would anybody care? Why would anybody care? Everything that we see on television is fake. Everything that we see on television is a lie. For example, nobody believes for one second that any of these people in Congress really give a shit. Really? You know, who is it? Adam Schiff. He's talking about today in the impeachment vote how the founding fathers would be ashamed and the Ukrainian government, they know better than us for how a democracy is supposed... Oh, give me a break. Do you think any of these people, Democrats, Republicans, bureaucrats, regulators, do you think any of these people are in the back rooms, the corridors, and the House office buildings, or in the chambers of Congress? And do you think they're really losing sleep? You think they're really sweating about what the founders intended and the Constitution? Democracy? Oh, please. Nobody cares. And on the Republican side, are we really supposed to believe that Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell and all these Republican Congress people are breathless? Oh, and they're sweating about how Democrats are ruining America and this is a sham. It's all a game. None of these people have any real conviction. None of these people care. These people care about getting reelected. We know that. If they really cared about, for example, the subject of this impeachment, which is foreign aid to Ukraine, why don't they care about the Israel lobby, right? Why wouldn't they care about the military-industrial complex? Why wouldn't they care about, you know, China buying up things in America? They don't. Why wouldn't they care about mass immigration from Mexico? You know, that doesn't constitute abuse of power, destruction of democracy, whatever, foreign influence. Nobody cares. They don't care. And so why should we care at that point? The media is going to cover this. You know, they're sending their journalists. They're on the scene. Well, I can tell you, Bob, look at the vote today. It's really going to be interesting to see. No, none of these people care. None of these people care. They graduated from like third rate state schools. They work at BuzzFeed. They came up working at Vox. They don't own property. They don't have children. They're all complete hedonists. Nobody cares about anything. Why should we? Why should we? You know, they care about the bottom line. They care about power. They care about perpetuating the same system. And now that people are sort of opting out and saying like, yeah, like whatever. Like, yeah, we'll pay our taxes and we're going to vote. And I mean, to an extent, we're going to participate. But I mean, we're really not going to buy into it. Like, yeah, we kind of all recognize it's fake. And I think that's why they're pissed off. That's what's starting to screw with them is that people are just sort of opting out. They're just sort of taking themselves out of the game and saying like, yeah, like whatever. You know, we recognize it's all partisan at this point. At this point, it's not really about ideals or values. It's just about two parts of the country that hate each other. You know, two factions in the country that hate each other, have completely different ways of life, and are now just competing to destroy the other side first politically. You know, the left, the cosmopolitans, the people in the cities, the professionals, academics, whatever, or educated people, they hate the bigoted interior. They hate the people of the country, the people of the land. They hate religion. They hate traditional America. They want to make America into, Global Citizens Festival. They want to make America into some, you know, United Nations, U2, millennial rock concert. And then, of course, you've got the people in the interior who are coming around to this mindset. I think they're probably a little bit more good-hearted, less malicious. But, you know, we with Trump obviously want to piss off liberals. You know, we with Trump and with what he's doing, because I think it's like 90% of the GOP supports Trump, 90% of the GOP is white. You know, we are trying to stick it to the establishment, stick it to the coastal elites, everybody else. And that's really what it's about, is a race to who is going to rule the country. It's a war. You know, politics is in some sense war. But at least in our country for a long time, politics at least had some base assumptions or first principles that, you know, we agreed about Christianity, or we agreed about like the Constitution, or we agreed about the American Creed, or about, you know, all these traditional American values, but maybe there were some differences of opinion on political issues. Well, now it's just like, now you are just seeing the consolidation of two diametrically opposed factions in the country, you know, filing into their respective political parties, and then just trying to subjugate and dominate the other side. You know, we have to learn how to do that. I think the left kind of gets that, that they are now fighting to gain control of the White House, not so that they can pass their policies, but so that they can determine what America is. So that they can dictate what America will be for the rest of time, you know, or for however long America lasts. That America will be multicultural and liberal and secular and so on. And, you know, I think increasingly on the right, we're coming to a similar conclusion and saying we have to fight to gain control of the White House. I think this should be the mentality. Maybe it's not quite there yet, but not to change the tax code, but so that we can protect America from this challenge, from this assault by the left, by this insurgent but increasingly powerful globalist New World Order establishment. And so that's, to me, what this impeachment really kind of reeks of. That's the bottom line. That's why the stuff of it is irrelevant. It's really more about the bigger picture. But we'll see what happens. You know, Trump's not going to get removed from office. I think that, you know, this is just going to hurt the Democrats. I think, in the end, the ultimate conclusion of impeachment is that Trump's just going to win another term. I think it's that simple. I think he's not going to get removed from office. I think that's a certainty at this point. And I think he's cruising into re-election quite easily. You know, for a long time, I said he's probably got a 50-50 chance. You know, he's probably going to have to fight really hard. But look at the Democratic field. It's Joe Biden. It's Buttigieg. It's Warren. If you look at the polling, Buttigieg and Warren, very few polls show them beating Trump overall or in the most critical states like Michigan, Iowa, Ohio, all the rest. Biden's one he has to worry about. And this guy's like dying. This guy, every time he gets up on stage, it's like he loses brain cells. It's like he's rapidly going down this dementia, like weird place. You know, so I look at the Democratic field. I look at impeachment. I look at how they're really activating Trump's base with impeachment. I don't think they stand a chance. I think they might not even intend to be winning in 2020 because they see how weak their hand is. And maybe this is some kind of last-ditch effort on their part, but that's my ultimate forecast, is Trump won't get removed from office, and I think he'll sail quite easily into a second term. So that's impeachment. I guess we'll see how that plays out. We'll see how the trial plays out. I'm sure everybody will be waiting with bated breath to see what the outcome of that is going to be. Oh, well, what are the witnesses going to say? What is the prosecution going to say? We already know. What's the vote going to be? We already know. But of course, it's going to be a big deal, and everybody's going to be on the ground reporting on it. Oh, and it's so important. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. It's all over. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about what's going to happen this week, which nobody's talking about, which to me is probably a little bit more important, which is this new spending bill, which should be passed before the end of the week. And I'll read to you a little excerpt from a Breitbart News report about this. You know, we talked about the spending bill yesterday and what it did not include. We talked yesterday about how, like the spending bill earlier this year in 2019, I think in February 2019, the omnibus spending bill that was passed did not include really any money for a serious border wall. It actually put up more restrictions and hurt our ability to enforce immigration laws at the border. You know, I said yesterday about how they decreased the amount of ICE detention beds. They expanded this program that moved people detained at the border into the interior of the country. You know, so it's a terrible spending bill. And I said, unlike that one this year, we're not even going to try to make it better. We're just starting out that bad. But we found out something else bad about this spending bill, which is that it also gives a pathway to citizenship for Liberians. And I'll read you, this is the report from Breitbart. It says, quote, "This week, the Senate passed the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act that includes a provision that gives amnesty to about 840 Liberian nationals and their children who would otherwise have self-deported from the United States in March. In early 2018, President Donald Trump ended Deferred Enforced Departure, or DED, for Liberia, which acted as a de facto amnesty for Liberians to stay in the U.S. since 1991. Liberians were given the temporary amnesty in the early 1990s due to a civil war in their nation, which really kind of makes you think. More on that in a moment. So they were given sort of a de facto amnesty, deferred action on departure. In other words, we're not going to deport you. You're here illegally. We'll let you stay for 30 years. Donald Trump terminated that program earlier this year. That is after decades of renewing the temporary amnesty by Presidents Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama. Despite the nation's civil war long having ended, Trump reviewed their DED status and determined that Liberia is safe for nationals in the U.S. to return to. The amnesty for Liberian nationals slipped into the defense budget that had been pushed for months by Senator Amy Klobuchar and a handful of Minnesota lawmakers. Effectively, all Liberian nationals who were allowed to stay in the U.S. over the last few decades will now be allowed to adjust their immigration status, making them permanent residents who can eventually apply to become citizens. Liberian nationals will only be disqualified from the amnesty if they have been convicted of aggravated felonies, such as murder, rape, child sex abuse, sex trafficking, and kidnapping. Also included in the defense budget is billions of American taxpayer money that will continue funding border security measures in foreign countries like Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, and Tunisia. Have a feeling they're leaving one out there. Not sure why. It is Breitbart, after all. Breitbart that was born in Israel. It says, meanwhile, less than $1.4 billion is explicitly authorized for the construction of a border wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. So it gets even better. You know, not only do we get a spending bill that doesn't even have anything for our own border, nothing for a border wall. I mean, nothing. $1.4 billion for, like I said, a cheap fence, cheap replacement fencing. So it has nothing for a border wall. Not only that, we're not even going to fight for funding on a border wall. Not even that. It gets better, but, and this is adding on to what we said yesterday, now it also gives a pathway to citizenship. Not permanent residence, not an expansion of deferred enforced departure, but a pathway to citizenship for 1,000 Liberian nationals that have been here for 30 years. And funding for border walls all over the Middle East. And how does it really get any better than that? 1,000 Liberians, I mean, and that's not a huge number, that's not a lot of people, but it just goes to show we can send these people back. Do you understand why it's gotten this bad in this country? It's because every time we see an amnesty, every time we see a pathway to citizenship, every time we see a deferred action, whatever, it starts out as temporary or the last amnesty or it's just this many people. But then we get that every year. And some, when it's temporary, never go home. Right, I mean, we remember that Ronald Reagan, I mean, he was maybe one of the first ones that ever made this mistake. He made a grand deal on immigration that in exchange for securing the border, he would give amnesty to 3 million illegal immigrants. Of course, the border wall didn't get built, but the amnesty happened. We've seen many such deals like this over the past 50 years, where it's amnesty, it's deferred action, it's temporary protected status, it's deferred enforced departure. It's all these different programs that start out as temporary or they're not temporary, but all these different programs where it's just a few thousand more. It's just a few thousand from Haiti, temporary protected status. A few thousand from Nicaragua, temporary protected status. 3 million from Latin America. It's the final amnesty. 5 million from Mexico. Well, they just can stay here and we'll give them driver's licenses. And it's 1,000 from Liberia. They're deferred enforced departure. And how many million for DACA? Well, it's deferred action and what? I mean, do you understand? This is how you end up with a foreign-born population. It's going to be like a quarter of the country. If you don't think that could happen, it's happened in Canada. It's happened in Australia. It's happening all across Europe where the foreign-born population is making up an astronomical percentage of the total population. It's insane. And think about why they're even here to begin with. Liberians have been here, you know, these 1,000 Liberians have been here for 30 years. Why did they come here to begin with in 1991? Because of a brutal civil war. I don't know if you know anything about the history of Liberia, but for about the past 100 to 200 years of like recorded history, I guess you could say, it's been civil wars nonstop. But you could probably say that for the past like 10,000 years, it's been civil wars, tribal conflict, people chopping heads, you know, savagery. And so you have to ask yourself, we're taking in 1,000 people that are fleeing from civil war. Why are we doing that? Why do you think they have endless civil wars in Africa? Do you think it might have something to do with the fact that the people in Africa are perhaps prone to that kind of behavior, that they are biologically or naturally predisposed to that type of behavior? Do you think it's an accident that these people in Africa just find themselves in endless civil wars forever? For as long as there's been people in Africa? You know, because at least in the last 250 years in America, we've had one civil war, right? We had a war of independence and one civil war. And that's since we settled the continent in the beginning of 1600. So it's really more like 400 years. We had a war of independence and a civil war. And of course, we had other, I mean, there were like colonial conflicts in the 18th century. You know, you had the, what is it? What are the War of Austrian Succession, the Seven Years' War. I mean, so you had other kinds of wars happening, but in terms of civil wars, like destabilizing, regime change kinds of things, that's happened a couple of times. In Africa, it's been happening with regularity almost every decade in every country. So why then are we taking in what we're protecting these people? They're fleeing from civil war. They're coming here. What do you think is going to happen when they outnumber us in this country? It's just like with temporary protected status from Nicaragua. Why do you think they're fleeing Nicaragua? Nicaragua's broken. Why is Nicaragua broken? Nicaraguans. It's the same story with Mexico. It's the same story with Haiti. People live in a broken country because they broke it. They broke the country. They do not know how to make a country that works. Do they know how to make a country that works? If they did, their country would work, right? And you know, you look across the world and there's so much variation. You know, we're not talking about like Liberia. We're talking about every country in sub-Saharan Africa does not work. We're talking about every country south of the Rio Grande does not work, regardless of their political system, their ideology, regardless of foreign aid, regardless of where they landed in the Cold War, colonial history. Liberia was one of two African countries that never got colonized. I think it was Liberia. Was it two? It was Liberia and maybe one other. I think Ethiopia were the only two African countries that never got colonized. Did Ethiopia get colonized? Maybe they got colonized by Italy. I don't know. I'm forgetting my history here. But I know Liberia, I know that they were never colonized. And so in spite of them never being colonized, in spite of foreign aid, in spite of them literally having the same constitution as we have in America, in Liberia, it's a shithole like every other country. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Is Africa a shithole because of religion? Is it a shithole because of ideology, because of Democrats, socialism? Because they're not Christian? Is it because they, you know, colonialism? Or is it because they just can't build a civilization that works? And so then what is our conclusion? These poor people, they can't build a civilization that works. They are simply incapable. They don't know how. If they did, they can't make it happen. So we need to bring them to our country that does work. And then they can outnumber us. You know, we, who know how to make a country work, you know, Europe, the greatest civilization in human history, we have set up America, one of the greatest countries in human history, we're going to bring people from a country that does not work, people that can't figure it out, to a place where we do have it figured out, and the people that can't figure it out will outnumber the people that have it figured out. I mean, that to me makes a lot of sense. That to me, I mean, that is just really brilliant. And I know this is not stuff that we haven't touched on before, but it just goes to show the extent of the problem. You know, and increasingly it's going to be from all corners of the globe when we talk about immigration. What do you think the next step is going to be? Here's a little thought for you. I'll plant this seed. The character of immigration right now, as we know it, is Hispanic. Now that's been changing over the past 5 years or so. If you look at immigration since 1965, when the Hart-Celler Act passed, 50% of that legal immigration came from Latin America, came from South and Central America, and half of that has been from Mexico in particular. So 50% of all of the legal immigration has been from Hispanic countries, and so half of that number is Mexican. So a quarter of all the immigration has been Mexican, half of it has been Hispanic in general. Increasingly, it's becoming more Asian. Now it's something like half of the legal immigrants are from Asia. They're coming from China. They're coming from India. Well, think about it like this. You look at the fertility rates in China and India, and they're slowly beginning to taper off, particularly in China. You know, these countries that have a billion people, you know, 1.5 billion in China, 1 billion in India, their fertility rate is slowing down. Their population is going to begin to plateau in the same way that it has basically in Latin America, in the same way that it did in Europe a few decades ago. Where is the population exploding? Where is it higher than anywhere else in the world? Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. Almost, well, a big bulk of the population growth, most of the population growth in the next century will come from Africa. You've got 1 billion people in Africa now. You're going to have billions of people in Africa in the next century. So ask yourself this, where is the immigration going to come from in the next century? Is it going to continue to come from Latin America? Is it going to come from Asia? Or do you think that slowly but surely, you're going to have an entire continent of people that can't figure it out, and they're going to be looking for places to go? You know, right now, they're boarding these little life rafts, and they're coming across the Mediterranean, and they're being rescued and brought to Italy. What they're doing now, what they're doing increasingly, is flying to Mexico, and they're just coming across the border. This is the kind of thing that we have to be worried about. You know, if you think about America, yes, we're still in the majority. White people are still in the majority, but not for long. You know, that's going to change in 28 years, something like that. By 2044, I think, is when white people become a minority in our country. So it's we've got a couple of decades. We are already a global minority by far. We are a global minority by far. You know, I think we're something like 14% of the population, 13% of the population, something like that. And our percentage of the global population is only going to shrink. We're going to be a minority in all European countries. We're going to be a minority in America. We're going to be a minority in Canada and in Australia. And we'll be a minority globally. Meanwhile, the fertility rate in Africa in some countries is 7. 7 children on average per mother. Mathematics, folks. It's a math equation. Is this what we want to be doing? Is this the path we want to go down? This is how we have to start thinking about, you know, little amnesties like, you know, 1,000 Liberians from this DED program, getting amnestied in. The thing about Africa is it's really big. Africa's bigger than the United States, China, and all of Europe combined. They've got a lot of land, they've got a lot of resources, and they should stay there. But that's what's going into our bill. Trump's going to sign it, and that's awesome. And that's, you know, that's making America great again. I'm sure glad we elected this guy, right? And, you know, I'm still going to vote for him because, of course, as bad as things are, as much as he's broken promises and there have been these little amnesties here and there, it's better than Hillary Clinton for what it's worth. You know, it's a binary choice. You get one or you get the other. If Trump is even marginally better, it makes more sense to have him. But, I mean, let's not be under any illusions. This is not making America great again. Liberians escaping civil war do not make America great. You know, we know who makes America great. So it was, you know, people that built the rockets that sent us up to the moon. We know who that was. It was the founding fathers, the settlers. It was those people. So I'll just leave it at that. But we're going to move on to our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this, about impeachment, about everything that's been happening. We'll take a look here. Let's see. We've got Migari, who says, Migari first, Corgi wrecked. Nick, give me the Zuck, okay? Mr. Corgi says, Nick, did you hear Tucker Carlson's segment on the new Big Pharma prescription drug? oh, the new prescription drug, which is called, I'm not going to read that. It's phonetic. It's some phonetic joke that's too vulgar. I would read it, but I'm not. Okay, well, the last part of it is enormous, okay? And the first part of it is... Mycoxy. Okay, so that's the new drug. That is a new drug, apparently, that Tucker Carlson was talking about from Big Pharma. Thanks a lot for that. My Corgi says, Billie Eilish, 18, finally. Smash or pass, fellas? Definitely pass. She is a devil-possessed succubus. Owen says, Trump got impeached regardless. He should have just been epic instead of being a cuck. Yeah, there's a lesson in that. Jay Hial says, listen, I give you the $5, then you invest in the military industrial complex, and then we both get $5 back. That's how America First works. Okay, well, you kind of butchered the quote there, but I mean, yeah, okay. Ryder says, hey, Nick, IRA, based or cringe? And if based, should we start a campaign against the Angloids once again? I know you hate them as much as I do. I disavow all violence. I'm just going to say that. Mr. Corgi says, OMG, Nick, the Louder with Crowder live Christmas special also starts at 7. I'm so conflicted. What should I watch? Is Steven Crowder going to be wearing his Christmas pajamas? Wait, even better, is Steven Crowder going to be dressed as Mrs. Claus? That would be hilarious. That would be a hoot and a holler. Because, of course, Steven Crowder is male. and he would be dressing up as a female? Because Steven Crowder, who is a boy, would be dressing up as a girl? Now that would be funny. Now that's comedy. That would make me laugh. Steven Crowder is a man, but he's dressed like Mrs. Claus. I'm laughing. I'm going to laugh. I mean, these are the kind of people that watch like Steven Crowder, right? So, yeah, no, I will not be watching, what is it, the Very Crowder Christmas Special. Yeah, gonna be a pass for me. Steven Crowder is not gonna be, him and his kids won't be leaving out milk and cookies for Santa because he doesn't have any kids. Natsu says, hey Nick, happy to see you are part of Calabrian Gang. Early reminder for doubters, even when it seems counterintuitive, trust the plan. Have faith and the climb will be swift. All glory to Christ. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, Calabrian Gang, we're out here. Calabria is really, I mean, this is the source of where it happens, where civilization happens. And yeah, it's true. I mean, you just got to trust the plan. Even when you don't, you know, people are like, I trust the plan, but I'm doubting it. It's like, that's where the trust comes in. You know, you don't have to trust the plan if the plan is all laid out to you and you agree to every part of it and it all makes complete sense, right? That's not trust. If I tell you exactly how it's going to work out and you say, oh, I like that, that's not trust. Trusting the plan means even when you're not sure, even when you're doubting, you're going to say, well, I don't know how this is going to work, but I trust the plan. The trust is critical exactly when you're doubting. I mean, that's what trusting means. You've got to trust. So, and yeah, I mean, look, it's going to take off in a big way. Luke says, super chats were so bad last night, I had to turn the show off early. Well, never do that. Never do that. You have to, if I have to read them, you have to watch. Oba says, phase one of Groiper Wars was awesome, but phase two would just be feds posing as Groipers making us look bad. Okay, so you don't know what phase two is. So, well, phase one was good, but phase two, dude, shut the fuck up. You don't know what phase two is. Well, phase two would be, shut up. You don't know what phase two is. And stop, normies, please, don't speculate. Don't even ask about phase two. Phase two will come when it comes, all right? And just trust the plan. Billy Mays says, if only the R's who control the Senate, White House, and Supreme Court were as dedicated and unified as the House is, stuff would actually get done, yeah. Jay Hial says, does anyone else remember people getting murdered after volunteering in a science experiment? I legitimately can't find news articles on it anymore. What science experiment? Michael says, phase two will out-epic impeachment and the 2020 election. You're right. Mentality says, would you consider giving some love and playing some of those old school Flash games during your Saturday 2010 stream? What was your favorite one? Well, it'd have to be within the 2010s. So, and I didn't really play too many Flash games in the 2010s. I mean, the Flash games are really sort of a 2000s phenomenon. You know, like Miniclip, Addicting Games. That was a very like 2007, 2008 phenomenon. So I don't know. Ray Respector says, anyone who gives a damn about impeachment is a nerd or lumpenprol. Most Congress people aren't even real Americans. Yeah, completely true. Cabin in the Woods says, would you date Ashley Spinelli? I don't know who that is. Is that another? Oh, Ashley Spinelli from Recess? Probably not. Not really my type. She's like, I remember she was like a bitch in that show, you know, very like, I've got an attitude. Women that are like, I've got an attitude, it's so unappealing, so unattractive. I see this on Twitter all the time where women are like, well, I need a man who's going to put up with my attitude. Yeah, shut up. I'm not putting up with anything when it comes to that. So, you know, I look up Ashley Spinelli from Recess. She's got her hands on her hip. She's got, you know, this look on her face. She got her hips out. Yeah, that's a red flag for me. That's going to be a deal breaker. Going to be a no for me, dog. Let's see. Cabin in the Woods says, favorite street shark. I don't know what that means. Autistic Ohio says, impeachment speeches today literally oscillated between straight white Republican males and Democrat retard femoids, self-aggrandizing people of color, and Jews. My boomer dad doesn't get what this is a preview of. Yeah, really makes you think, doesn't it? That's so weird. I'm sure this is all ideological. You know, like Charlie Kirk says, this is capitalism versus socialism. It just so happens that all the capitalists are white males and all the socialists are all these other categories. Really makes you think. Cabin in the Woods says, as far back as I can remember, the okay, Cabin in the Woods, your super chats are not very good, but you know, just shitting up the whole stream with like multiples of them, and it's like, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster is better than being president of the United States. Okay, thank you for that. Alex says, I am monitoring the situation. Okay. Jemiah says, hey, Nick, okay, it's a bunch of gibberish or something. What is that, baby talk? Okay. Don't have a username, says Instagram users be like, false information reviewed by independent fact checkers. Okay. Hudson says, just turned 23 today, kind of black-pilled. I don't know which direction to go in life. I don't want to go to college because of debt. You're 23 and you don't know what you're... Oh, I don't want to go to college because of the debt, but I don't want life to feel mundane. You don't want life to feel mundane. Any advice to break the cycle? Should you follow your passion? You're 23. You should have it figured out by now, big guy. You're 23. And you don't know if you should go to college. If you're going to go to college, you should have went when you were 18. Not when you're 23. You don't want your life to feel mundane. Life is mundane. No matter who you are, no matter what you are. What does that mean? What do you want life to be? How could life not be mundane? You're alive for 80 years. You think you could have 80 years worth of days that are novel, knock your socks off, dopamine rush days? No, I mean, most days are you get up, you do your thing, you know. You wake up, get out of bed, brush your teeth, take a shower, eat 3 meals a day. I mean, most days are just these mundane maintenance repetitive activities. I don't want my life to be mundane. Okay, well, I mean... go to war and, you know, die when you're 25. That's how your life cannot be mundane, I guess. Don't follow your passion. Do something that is going to make you money. Do something that will make you money. You know, get a job. Get a job that will give you a secure income. Maybe work on something on the side. But, you know, follow your passion. What does that mean? You're going to draw? You're going to play games? So it's time to start figuring it out, big guy. Start with a job, maybe. Cabin in the Woods says, millennials want to start a revolution, but they can't even start a lawnmower. Bill, sent from my iPhone. Oh my gosh, I'm wheezing, dude. Love that one. Bob Sakamana says, wow, Nick, no GLS invite. You think I'm a Fed, bro? Nah, JK, though, I hope everyone has as good a time as everyone did at the Miami event. Yeah, it'll be fun. Inner City Democrats says, the impeachment soap opera was retarded and pointless, a predetermined headcount. Nothing will happen in the Senate because it's a Republican majority. Yep. Evner says, the Star of David has 6 points. The menorah has 6 candles. The 6 million, the Kabbalah diagram thing has 6 points. People are starting to notice. Well, Kabbalah, if you're talking about the Sephiro or whatever the, you know, the thing is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I don't know if you could really say. It's a hexagram, but it's got a line off it. It's like 10. Isn't it 10? Like nodes, though, so that's a little bit of a stretch, I would say. But all the rest is, does a menorah have 6 candles? Okay, menorah has 9 candles. This dummy, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it's 10 candles. So most of this is just wrong. This is what I mean when people are like, Jewish? Six? It's like, okay, well, you got the Star of David. That's true. But menorah has 10 candles. The Kabbalah is 10 nodes, and it's a hexagram, and it's got a line off it, so that's not quite there. And I know the 6 million's true, I guess, but look, I mean, there's, I'm not trying to discredit a lot of this, but it's like, we have so many facts. Let's not, like, start going to territory. It's just not true. We have enough that is true that we can really use. And it's, why say the menorah has 6 candles when it doesn't? You know what I mean? So, menorah's got 10 candles. Jane says, anyone who denies the 6 million... Okay, that's... Nah, I'm not going to read that. You're retarded. Cabin in the Woods says, hey, Sonny, love the show. Ever heard of 1984 by... I just... Oh, man... You know, all the holes in the wall are here because whenever I go to strike, it's always a pivot like this. So there's like, there's a couple like in this area. I'm like this close, man. I'm this close. Why don't you just go mushroom and Swiss mode already, right? Hey, Sonny, love the show. Ever heard of 1984 by George Orwell? Very dystopian. Bill, sent from my iPhone. Dude, we get it. We get it. It's almost went from being unironic as boomers saying that to ironic to zoomers making fun of boomers saying that to boomers trying to be funny, co-opting jokes that zoomers make about boomers saying that. I mean, so if we've come full circle, hey, my fellow kids, I'm going to do a sent from my iPhone boomer joke. Yeah, okay. Well, we've been doing that for months now. All right, Hawk Roy says, have you seen Africa Check and other independent fact checkers on Instagram by chance? No. SpongeBob says, anyone remember that classic moment Beardson called Jim Goat a fence-sitting dick-sitter? Yeah, that was pretty funny. I like Jim Goat, though. Me and Jim are friendly, but that was pretty funny. Tyronius says, Trump's administration doesn't recognize the Armenian genocide as a genocide. Thoughts? I don't really care. You know, that's a thing. I don't really care about the Armenian genocide. I don't really care about, historical things. Oh, this thing happened a long time ago, and the White House says, I don't really care. White genocide is happening now. So, who cares? Skits says, Nick's show title game is on point. Yes. Cabin in the Woods again says, been an incel all my life, just got a really hot and sexy tradcast GF. We're all going to make it. Thoughts? Also, Nick, what job is best for me? College? Funny. Haha, funny. Saber says, Menorah has six candles. The Star of David has 6 points. Yeah, can I get a number 6? Hold the pickles and tomatoes. Does that come with fries or is that... Okay, thanks. Cabin in the Woods says, have you seen the clown that hides from gays yet? Don't know what that means. Hides from... Is that fanatic? I don't know what that means. I saw this one yesterday, too. Let me see. I'm just Googling it. There's a thread from 2015. I don't understand this one. Let me see. Have you seen This is from Kick-Ass Humor. I don't get it. I don't understand it. From at Walmart? What is this from? iFunny. Let's see on iFunny. Somebody needs to explain this joke to me. I've never seen this one before. Hey, I don't understand this one. Somebody needs to explain the... I'm going to Google the all that plus explained, maybe. Let's see. Meme generator. Somebody explain it to me in live chat. I've never heard this one before. I mean, I heard this one yesterday, but I've never had someone explain it to me. Oh, I get it, because it's, have you seen the clown that hides from gay people? And then if you say no, it's because the clown is hiding from you. The clown is hiding from you, implying that you are gay. You haven't seen him because he's hiding from you, and that confirms, okay, now I get it. I don't know. You know, have you seen the clown that hides from gays yet? I don't know what that means. That's not quite the same thing as saying no. People are saying, oh, no. But Nick, have you seen him? Yeah, I've seen him. Boss Vivo says, Nick, if you haven't seen the clown that hides from gay people, then ... Well, I have seen him. I see him everywhere. I see him all the time. says, see, so I outsmarted your joke there. Oh, that clown. Yeah. Oh, that one that I've seen all the time. I don't know. It's kind of a weak joke. Says, pretty bold putting the... Maybe I'm salty. Maybe I'm coping. That's not even a good joke. says, pretty bold putting the complete Groiper War Season 2 plan on the America First Premium Telegram. Incredibly detailed and strategic. Can you imagine if Turning Point staff found the America First Premium Telegram? Yeah, I guess that would be bad. Cabin in the Woods says, yesterday's Super Chats sucked. I'm back to fix it. Heart, yeah, well, maybe you could try harder next week. Panther Den says, Blepe rises. Where are all my free thinkers at? I'm here. Blank Dragon says, why were slave markets closed on the Jewish Sabbath? Really makes you think. Wake up, Goyim. Can we just stop? Are you like a TRS subscriber? Trent says, paying penance for my cringe Super Chat last night. I turned 28 today. Almost a boomer. Well, happy birthday. Yeah, you're getting close, but enjoy your last years of your 20s, I guess. Cabin in the Woods says, like the video if you are a true groiper. Yeah, do that. V2 says, hey, Nick, looking taller and more angular. What are the stats? 20 feet tall, 400 pounds, with 200 IQ? Yeah, it's something like that. Beezer says, the GF finally agrees on shaking off white guilt, but she's shocked I don't accept white privilege. I need to keep exerting that dragon energy. Okay, yeah, good luck with, like, your girlfriend, I guess. Mr. Anonymous says, I'll vote Trump because of this. Not a fan, though. Yeah. Jake says, at the post office, a woman in front of me wanted stamps and smugly said, no Santa, no American flags. She finally chose a menorah one and said, Happy Hanukkah. She left. Truly a great citizen. Yeah, I'm sure there's nothing going on there. That comes as a complete surprise to me. Dimitri says, on my way to work earlier today, heard a Democrat use the phrase, geography is destiny, to describe gerrymandering. That's fascinating, yeah. Crumble Bob says, bro, I watched the MTV special, and when you called that guy a fag at the rally, I cried. It was just too glorious. I'm only a year older than you, but I got to call you son in this instance. Son, a true patriot and a hero. Thank you. Okay, well, I'm not your son, but thanks for... You're a year older than me calling me son, really? Yeah, but thanks for that. Appreciate it. First name, last name says, is there going to be an America First Christmas special? Would be a great opportunity to gather my extended family and red pill them all at once. Yeah, probably on Monday I'll do a Christmas special. Ishaq says, share blue shills. We're going to be shilling on poll for a while. Yeah. Jake says, Nick, my sister finds you irresistible. Yeah, well, I can't blame her. Cabin in the Woods says, aside from RSBN, where can I find earlier America First shows on BitChute? Content says, black people out here thinking Hispanics love them. Sure, maybe the ones with English as their first language might find them tolerable, but the illegals coming in aren't too fond of them. Yeah, that's true. Zoomer says, Merry Christmas, King, visiting my wife's family for Christmas and introduced my father-in-law to your content. Almost went Richard Spencer mode on my wife when she tried to complain about it. She doesn't like politics. Well, yeah, I mean, why would she even be involved? You gotta take father-in-law away from the femoids in the kitchen. You know, they're making Christmas cookies or whatever. Got to take them out elsewhere and say, you know, hey, you ever heard about the real truth about politics? Got to watch America First. So it's your fault for bringing it up in front of her. Ferris says, kind of wild how the fashy goy lexicon from 2016 is so painfully cringe now. Thanks for not milking the groiper meme to death and keeping it fresh. Yeah, it's what I do, all right? I keep it fresh. Jake says, hungry minds. Always follow true leaders. Having an informative channel, a charming personality, and being a true Christian is what unequivocally convinced me to follow your channel. Wow, well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Count Dracula says, do you unironically think you have autism? Nah. I think I have, like, tendencies which are similar to autistic people, but I don't think I have autism. Because I'm too... I think, to me, it's almost like, at a certain point, you have to realize that, like, mental illness is kind of a cop-out, you know? Some people are like, I'm a sociopath. It's like, no, you're just a jerk, you know? That's kind of a realization that I had in my life. It's like, am I a psychopath? Am I, like, a sociopath? Or am I just, like, a dick, you know? Or am I just completely self-centered, you know? So that's the way I look at it. It's like, are you autistic, or are you just, like, you know, developmentally stunted because you're on your phone when you grew up? You know what I mean? So... I think that's what people do, is they're like, they don't want to grow as a person, so they just say, I'm retarded, you know? Oh, you don't know how to act and behave like a human being? You don't know how to behave like an adult? I'm just retarded, I'm just quirky. I just have some kind of, you know, whatever. I go to a therapist, I pop pills. Like, no, I think you're just like a child. I think you're just like a mental and emotional child. So, no, I don't think I have autism. I don't think I'm, like, autistic people tend to be, like, very, like, mathematical and they can't socialize. I find I can socialize. I just don't enjoy it. And I'm not good at math. Well, I am good at math, but I'm not, like, a savant at math, is what I should say. Joe Mama says, follow Zawist on iFunny. Jack says, imagine not being able to text and drive at the same time. LMAO, can't relate. Well, I definitely can, but I never do because... You know, if I text and drive, that means I could get in an accident, and I will never get in an accident because I'm a very focused driver. But I know that if I did, I could do it very well. Jeff says, first super chat, figured I'd send an early Christmas present before the Mossad incident at GLS. Love you, Nick. Sadly, finally got Trump in a peach, but don't spare your high IQ. Nicka's got your back. Well, thanks. Appreciate it. Bear says, we are monitoring the situation. Okay. Beatrice Says, hey, Nick, thanks for all you do for Native American whites. I probably am going to get verbally abused for this, but I'm worried about gender relations on the right. There seems to be a lot of resentment, and it doesn't augur well. Well, here we go with the femoid talk. Well, hi, Nick. I'm a femoid on the right, and there's a lot of resentment. Okay, well, maybe women need to get their act together, okay? Stop complaining about the resentment. Just be better, okay? That's my message for all the right-wing women. Right-wing women are like, all the men are mean to us. All the, you know, anti-woman stuff goes too far. Maybe men need to do this. Like, maybe you need to be better, okay? So I'm just going to say that. I think the resentment is totally justified and helpful. Vex Partisan says, Trump knows that we are monitoring the situation. Century Gun says, 27 Jump Street, more like 47 Sam Woodward. Cabin of the Woods says, no e-girls, never e-girls. Who has the clip? Elston Gun says, interesting tidbit I learned recently. Mary is a Greek name, and as it was a virgin birth, Jesus is 100% mad. Merry Christmas, King. There you go. Perfect. But I think Jesus and God were both Italian, so I think it's a little correction there. Minus says, can't believe they finally put Trump in a peach. Honk Life says, good evening, King. What an epic year for us all. Much respect. Also, cheers for this clown world. Clown world, that's still funny. White Hotep says, think of the sweet, sweet content if Trump gets removed from office, though. Yeah, there would be a lot of good content. Unforgivable says, the news on radio mentioned the black Israelite shooting, and all they said was two officers were killed, and then three more in a kosher grocery store. That was it. Also, Joker is on Amazon Prime. No way, is it really? Yo, pause. This is more important. Pause the show. This is more important. Let's see, Amazon Prime. Let's go to video. Bro, is Joker on Amazon Prime? Well, I don't see it right. I don't see it right on the front page. I would think it would be, right? Let me search it up, Joker. Yo, Joker. Oh, but you can't stream it. You have to buy it? $20 and you have to buy it? Man. Is it still in theaters? Oh, it's still in theaters. Okay, so maybe like one more week, right? Okay, good, good. It's still, but it's in Barrington? Bruh, Barrington's like a million miles away from me. Let me just take a look on the map real quick. Because I don't want to pay $20 to see. I'll pay $20 more to see it in theaters twice, but $20 buy it on Amazon. Why can't you just stream it so I could just have it in on a loop, you know? Maybe I'll just pay for it, I guess. Maybe I'll just, you know, bite the bullet and pay for it, but very good. Thanks for telling me that. Usurper's thoughts on Eastern Orthodoxy. Seems based. Yeah, the only problem is it's not in communion with the true church. Jordan says, hey, Nick, what's your opinion on President Pence, hypothetically? I wouldn't be a fan. Pence is like mainstream GOP. RGL says, amnesty for Liberians will get Trump the black vote. Yeah, definitely. Punish Chewy says, excuse me, hiccup department. Punish Chewy says, that's a nice suit, Nick. Thanks. Rock himself says, did you see JF debate Semi-Ogog on Joker? Super interesting. Would love to see round two with you versus, I don't know who that is. Round two. I've never debated this person once. Semi-Ogog. I don't know who that is. Jack says, hey, Nick, what are your thoughts on Tim Pool? He lied about me. Martin says, Nick looks like Frankie Nunez. Who is Frankie Nunez? You mean Frankie Muniz, or do you mean Frankie Nunez? I don't look like Frankie Muniz. Frankie Muniz looks weird now. Maybe when he was younger, but now he looks like a goof. Now he looks insane because he can't remember anything or whatever. His brain department. No, it's terrible what happened to him, but it's like, you know, he looks kind of psycho now. He's got the, what is it, the senpaku eye? Fatikati says, what's up, fellow America firsters? Let's commit felonies. Okay. That's not funny. Martin says, Nick looks like Frankie Muniz. Meme this.
Meme this, everyone. Everyone meme this.
Okay, funny meme, bro. Content says, I saw a survey where they asked, super chats just suck, man. They just suck this week. Please try harder. Content says, I saw a survey where they asked Hispanics if they care about impeachment, and they even they don't give a damn, yeah? Well, they don't give a damn about politics. Skits says this is where Hillary Clinton swoops in to claim her presidency. Bob Sakamana says one of the Dems gave a speech in Spanish, LMAO. No Malarkey says if you want a good laugh, you should look at iFunny. They've got some real knee slappers. Oh, I will. Apache says 13 million in retirement homes were forced to watch this impeachment because they were too weak to change a channel. MF says, how did you fix your sleep schedule, Nick? Well, I'll tell you when I do. Nikki says, democracy is being discredited. Imagine my shock. Wow, imagine my shock. Let that sink in. Blitzkrieg says, ha, Nick, I was just watching your piece on Steven Crowder's Socialism is Evil, Change My Mind episode earlier today. Do you know where Yusuf is today? Did you ever follow up on collaboration? Thank you. I think he's still in school, and no, I don't want to collab with him because I don't want to ruin his life. Alan says, I have lost hope with Trump, but one saving grace with him is that even with him not addressing our grievances, he still does represent us as far as the resentment the masses have for white Americans. Yeah. Tybor says, here you go, Piper. Thanks for distilling all this trash so I don't have to read or watch the news myself. Salute. Thanks. Mark says, did you know that Benito Mussolini was an atheist? If not, what do you think about him now that you do? I still think he's based. Anti-Rude says, what matters about today and beyond is if neocon senators browbeat Trump into towing their line using their votes as leverage. The rest is scripted. Yep. Joe says, you going to sub to this iFunny? No. Polish American says, took your advice on women and tripped my brother's field hockey wife into a glass coffee table. He owes me $2,000. Thanks, big guy. Oh man, these are just so funny tonight. Wow, we've got some real comedians in chat, don't we? Wow, we've got some real comedians in the chat tonight. Oh my gosh. Ow, my throat hurts from laughing so much. Oh, my face hurts from laughing. Oh, I'm laughing so much tonight. I'm in pain. You guys, stop it. Stop it. I've lost my composure from laughing so much. It's too funny. Polish Americans and my mom found out about the SCs. What does that mean? Luckily, she's a fan of the show. Follow Groiper Polish on Twitter. Love ya. Okay. Peter says, John, something back with the Chili Peppers. Based? I don't really like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Phillips says, Nick, you're incredible. Been missing the strategy of Trump. He will crack down hard on immigration after he wins again. Okay. Next time, for sure. You know, he didn't crack down on immigration the first time, but next time, for sure. It's all part of the strategy. Yeah, okay. I believe that, you know, I bought this idea. I was like, well, he'll crack down on immigration after the midterms. It didn't happen. So, yeah, big doubt. I'll believe it when I see it. Heinrich says, what's your view on Patriot Front? They seem a bit cringe, but from what I've heard, they're pretty serious about optics and fitness. Love the show. Yeah, I disavow joining these kinds of groups. The only one that I think is somewhat competent is AIM. But outside of that, it's just people in, Patriot Front have gotten arrested, particularly in Chicago. So I just think it's a bad idea. Get involved in these organizations. And what does that do other than put your name on a registry somewhere, right? You think the feds don't know about all these organizations? You think they don't know everyone that's in them? And you think they don't keep a close eye on all that? That's all I'm going to say. Treader says, why are we giving librarians citizenship? Books are for pussies. Okay. Funny. Alyosha says, indeed, organized Christianity today is the enemy of the West and the race that created it. Says Sam Francis on The Christian Question 2001. Yeah, he was wrong about that. But he is right in the sense that Protestants are promoting a lot of cuck stuff. And unfortunately, even the Catholic Church is promoting a lot of cuck stuff. So in a political sense, they're pushing things that are bad for whites. But of course, you need a more nuanced take than that. Jordan says, haircut looking fresh, King. Thanks. Callis says, I'm sure glad ICE deported those 24 guys earlier this year so we can make room for those 1,000 Liberians. Yeah. CIA defector says, for the chat, watch Empire of Dust. It's a wonderful tale of a Chinese man attempting to do what Europeans couldn't and bring civilization to Africa. Okay. Mothbutt says, nice haircut. Thank you. ASDF says, the best off country in Africa is probably Botswana, and they are 80 to 90% ethnically homogeneous and 2 to 3% white. Makes you wonder. Must be the butt sex. Funny. Billy Mays says, why do you think race mixing is so encouraged by industry? What happens when you have no true identity? Why are half white, half African people among the most depressed in the U.S.? It's all so tiresome. Oh, easy there with the questions. You're going to red pill everyone. Polish American says, what portion of black violence in America is due to DNA and what portion is due to single motherhood? Poo poo pee pee. Well, I think it's very reductive to talk about percentages. Of course, it's a confluence of factors, but I mean, what percentage of single motherhood, you could easily ask, is as a result of genetics too. You know, so people want to talk about culture. Well, it's single motherhood, it's dependency on government. Well, where do you think that comes from? So why is Africa still bad? St. Michael says, bro, colonization. Whoops, scroll down too far. Where are we? Bro, colonization is bad. Now let Africa colonize you. Wow, great point. Nick Hyde says, Nick, I love your work. I've been trying to convert some of my mates to the cause. However, whenever I try to speak about IQ differences, the overt sexualization of society, and my allegiance to Christ, I get shot down. Any tips? Yeah, stop trying to red pill your friends, man. Stop trying to red pill your friends. Or if you're trying, stop trying so hard. It's better to have friends than to, alienate everyone and not have any friends, which is what you end up doing. So, you know, if politics comes up and you see an entry point, then, you know, maybe ask some leading questions, make some observations. But if you push too hard, nothing alienates people more than that. You know, I see this all the time. Hey, check out this link. Hey, did you know this? Did you know that? What about this? Getting into arguments. This only alienates people. So, you know, leave it alone. If they get on the subject of politics, if they're leaning in our direction, you see an opening, an entry point for one of our ideas, then you exploit that. But otherwise, I would say lay off. Let's see. Boopers says, I woke my friends up with the Africa fertility rate rant. I told my friends that they will be a force of nature that no one will be able to stop. Very good. Justin says, you're right on the money. The way things are headed, kids are not in the picture for me. America does not need any more. Okay, I'm not going to read that. I really hope the church reforms. God bless. Well, I think everyone should have kids, but I understand the choice. Rick Savage says, you have to pick three homies to help your raid Saturn and take the black cube. Who are you bringing? For the Saturn raid, we're probably going to bring aboard Patrick Casey, of course. Three homies. Patrick Casey, probably I would bring aboard Jaden and maybe Vince James. I think that, well, I don't know. Jaden's a big guy, but he wasn't in the military like Jake Lloyd. So maybe I do Patrick, Jake Lloyd, and Vince. Because those three, to me, they're all, you know, Jake Lloyd's in the military or was in the military. Patrick, I think, does like some kind of fighting training. Vince James is very physically fit. So to me, they're going to have the agility, the strength to make it there, the endurance, the vitality to do this sort of interplanetary mission. I'd probably pick those three. Well, maybe Sam Hyde. Maybe he would be in there, maybe instead of Vince. Sam Hyde's a big guy. So I don't know. It's a tough one. Jules says, they really trying to put this Nibba Trump in a peach. Yeah. Kingdom says, trust the plan shirts. Love either way, King. I don't know about that. Q17 has had to turn off Blump's Michigan rally. He's on about black unemployment again. Thank you for all you do. I'll continue to trust the plan. If the path were easy, everyone would walk it. Yeah, it's true. King Stannis says, no reason to be blackpilled. 27-1, the Lord is do we know what book this is in? 27-1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So true. Squidward says, all I wanted for Christmas was Joker on Blu-ray, but it doesn't release until January. Blackpilled again. That sucks. GG says, recently came back to Christ because of you. After years of atheism, started reading the Bible, and I'm going to church this Sunday. Thanks for everything you do, and trust the plan. Well, hey, great to hear it. Thanks. Damn it, man, with these allergies. Nubia says, I often think that Democrats would have thrived if we segregated into our own state. What type of civilization do you think would work for Democrats? Probably a Democratic one. Punished Huey says, ban cabin in the woods. This guy is awful. It's brutal, man. It's just brutal. Inner city Democrats says, can you just ban this guy from super chatting? It's getting to that point, yeah. Anthony says, have you heard about the TPUSA SAS event at West Palm Beach, Florida, with a dream team of conservative speakers and President Trump? If they have a Q&A, you need to get some groypers out there, yeah. Big guy says, cabin in the woods is a new anus 12. Seymour says, I had a hot stuff burger today. Oh, my God. ASDF says, Nick, white pill me on life. I'm a baby. Yeah, true. Aptand says, despite being only 13% of the population, Europeans are responsible for 50% of the tech advances. Really makes you think, fuck you. Fuck you. Stop sending bad chats. That was so bad. 1350, but it's something else.
despite 13%, 50%, whoa, really makes you think.
I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. It's just a sigh. It's a psyop. This is the worst thing the Turning Point USA has ever done. Should I get the gun? Should I get the knife out of the drawer? This is the worst psyop that you know Turning Point has ever pulled. Shilling on polls, shilling on Twitter, doesn't faze me. You know, Groiper grifter clip doesn't faze me. Identity of Yevropa plants doesn't faze me. But this, I can't take this. ASDF says, I just read that. Groiper says, I see him every morning staring back at me, about to pop, JK. I don't know what that means. Yeet says, I really hate all these cringe super chats, but if you punch a hole in the wall on live stream, it's really good content sent from my iPhone. Giovanni says, love your show. Thoughts on based Chicano Groipers? That's my thoughts. Dylan says, dumb Nibba gang. Justin says, hi, Nick. First super chat. Gonna be 26 on Sunday. You do great work. Never give up and have a Merry Christmas. Thanks. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Kaylee says, hi from New Zealand. Where can I find a based BF? I don't know. Twitter. Make Ohio Great Again says, sitting here, watch some femoid. Where can I find a based BF? Like there's any shortage of them, right? Make Ohio Great Again says, sitting here watching my favorite show, America First, enjoying a Portillo's hot dog and beef and cheddar croissant. I turned 30 on Saturday, so I don't know what to think about that, but God bless you, sir. Well, happy birthday. Enjoy your Portillo's. ASDF says, imagine super chatters trying to red pill their boomer parents with Kabbalah, carbon atoms, Khazars, and beer cages. Anon, do we need to take away your internet? Yeah, that's a funny thought. Funny to think about. Your name says, Nick, how do you make the rational leap from primacy of the Old Testament to the New Testament? The coming of Jesus Christ. Emil says, I want to become Catholic, volunteer, and be a pleasant, positive member. I worry about being seen as reaping the benefits without having grown up Catholic. Well, as long as you're confirmed and baptized and everything, I don't think that's a problem. Let's see, where are we? Tyronius says, what do you think of the World War I movie coming out called 1917? I don't know. I saw the trailer. Looks okay. Jeffrey says, attention all iPhone ears. New post by Monkey Archive. Polish American says, forgive me, Nick. Boomer Destroyer says, thanks for explaining capoeism on America vs. Premium. Yeah, no problem. Hudson says, thanks for roasting me. Best thing that happened on my birthday today. Also, what would you do to change the current healthcare system? I don't know. I'd probably get rid of it. Mark says, if you're going to red pill your friends, do it in a high IQ way. Yeah, that's as opposed to doing it the low IQ way. Yeah, I think that's about right. ASDF says, it may be harsh, but we got to let Africa figure most of it out themselves. Imagine today if Europe was coddled during the bubonic plague. Okay, that's just like a terrible analogy because the bubonic plague happened in what, the high Middle Ages or the late Middle Ages? And that was after the Roman Empire. So, well, like we had to figure it out. Bro, we had it figured out. We had it figured out for thousands of years before the bubonic plague. ASDF says, Nick, you got to tell me the plan, though. Okay. Joe the Boomer says, me on the Saturn mission, cigar in mouth, AK in hand. Yeah, that would be formidable. Ed Lundgren says, do you secretly think Bible verse super chats are cringe, but don't want to say that in case it sounds blasphemous? No. Matthias says, just one good, well-aimed crusade. Okay. Cart says, opinions on the wage gap. Frog says, I'm French and American. Can I still be a nationalist? Sure. Poland says, are these chats worse than yesterday? Yeah. Yolt says, here's $5 to forgive the gay super chats. Thanks for that. ASDF says, many new super chatters in that phase where they think it's funny to send trite memes to make Nick rage. I can almost guarantee many are on purpose, perhaps. Parker says, end of the night, super chat. You are appreciated more than you know, brother. Thanks, brother. It's got to be tough some days. Much love. The Logos rises. That's so true. Thanks, brother. GG says, best way to not cringe post? Stop posting. Either way, starting to read the Bible. Should I start in Genesis or somewhere else? God bless. True. I would start, honestly, with the New Testament. I'm not the expert, but to me, that's the best part. Robert says, no comment. Mark says, go easy on the cringe super chats. You're epically funny genius. So it's only natural that most others will be less funny than you. Plus, we give you money. Yeah, well, I'm still going to go hard on super chatters. Thanks anyway. Randy says, raise his right fist. Black power, my Afro-Latino brother. Worship the black cube. Nick A says, Jesus was Assyrian, not Italian. He spoke Aramaic. You're wrong about that. Jesus was Italian, and he spoke Italian. So I think you got to check your history on that one. And Morden Trump says, pee pee poo poo, Merry Christmas, Nick. Thanks, Merry Christmas to you too. Big Guy says, those are some North Carolina Groiper War type chats tonight. Do better. Yeah, big agree. Okay, and our last super chat from Chris Jones says, which is a better ally to the United States, Iran or Saudi Arabia? I'm sorry, we got one more. Probably Saudi Arabia. ASDF says, that wasn't what I meant by the plague comparison. Hard to explain in a super chat, but natural selection isn't necessarily a bad thing. I understand. Okay, well, that's your last super chat. That's going to do it for us tonight on the show. Brutal super chat section tonight. Brutal. Absolutely brutal super chat section. But that's okay, because tonight's going to be the last show for the week. Remember, I'm taking tomorrow and Friday off. I'll be in West Palm Beach for the Groiper Leadership Summit. So no show tomorrow or Friday. I'll be back on Monday. But in the meantime, be sure to sign up for the email list. Go to NicholasJFuentes.com and sign up there to follow me in case bad things happen. Sign up for my Telegram channel, t.me/NicholasJFuentes1. I'm sorry, it's t.me/NickJFuentes1. Link is down below. Remember to subscribe to the channel. I'll give you a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters. Love that. We will see you on Monday. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your evening.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first.